Okay, so I think we're holding by mortar, if I hold correctly. If I hold correctly. Okay, so one. Yeah, we did Motzi Matzah. So I just want to one or two more points about Motzi Matzah. So you're supposed to finish it in the time which takes Echilus Pras. That starts from the time you swallow it. The Mishabura sees that you're supposed to eat two kazesim, a kazais from the upper matzah, a kazais from the middle matzah. So when you make the bracha, you hold all three matzahs, the first bracha of Hamotzi, and then for the second bracha, you allow the bottom matzah to fall down to, and you'll use that for the karech, and you hold on to the first two matzahs, the top two matzahs. So the top matzah is the sholem, the middle matzah is the prusa, is the broken matzah, and you will make the bracha of Al-Achilas Matzah on both of them. Now, you're supposed to, preferably a person is supposed to eat a kazayis from the upper matzah and a kazayis from the middle matzah. That's a dinner abonon, so you can rely on the smaller shear of matzah, so it's not so big. And basically, the larger shear which we eat really includes both that shear of both of them. So it really works that both of them are included. That halacha only applies if you're able to actually eat a kazayis from each one of them. Otherwise, a person really just needs to eat a kazayis from the top matzah, because that's lechem mishnah. So every person there has to eat lechem mishnah. And then they'll eat some more matzah to be able to fulfill the mitzvah matzah of eating matzah, achilas matzah. So now, if you have multiple people, like you mentioned from Moshe, multiple people having their own set of three matzahs, so basically everybody can give out, get enough to be able to actually get a kazayis from the matzahs which are used for the bracha. Otherwise, there's no union of getting a piece from the middle matzah per se. There is union of getting a piece from the upper matzah. There's maybe union of getting a mashu from the middle matzah just because it's lechem oini, because the prusa. But the ikur and the kudas, you're going to be eating a shear. So this idea of the shabur that you eat one kazayis from this, one kazayis from that, and there's an order which one you eat first, is irrelevant to most of the people unless they're eating from the kara, the matzahs of the kara itself. The shear is not that big, so I think Micha last time was able to share this picture with you. So on this column, which is the Achilas Matzah column, so it has three pictures, three pie shapes, depending on how thick or thin your matzah is. Assuming that you're talking about an average of six matzahs per pound, so the full shear of both kazesim together is a third of a matzah. When you're dealing with the thin matzahs, which is about 9 per pound, it's about a half a matzah. That's the full shear. That's the shear which the... Now, I when I gave my YouTube video shear, so I did it by weight. That if a person can go before Yom Tov, or on Yom Tov itself, really, if you would have a scale which is precise and is not electric, but it's hard to get the precision without the electric nowadays. You know, you can measure out the shear of matzah, and it's what I do is I before Pesach I measure out the shear of everybody's matzah. I put it in a bag, and I have bags which are for Motzi Matzah, bags which are for Karech, and bags which are for Karmen. And then everybody gets a little piece from the upper matzah and a little piece from the middle matzah, and they get their shear. So I can measure it out beforehand. So if you measure out, if you want to use weight, now the measure of a kazayis is not a weight measure. Let's get this clear. It is a value measure. But if we can standardize, you know, we know basically the nature of the relationship of the specific gravity of matzah, we know the relationship between its volume and its weight. So we can then figure out what the weight is going to be for hand matzah. Okay. So for the shear for Motzi Matzah, if you want to use the most chomer, the most chomer, the shear would be 27 and a half grams. So you have a digital scale. You measure out 27 and a half grams of the matzah. It's not that you'll see on the video. If you get a chance to look in the video, it's available on YouTube. I don't have it stored even. But if you look on Linda Reingold Seder on YouTube, you can find it. So I show the measuring, and then when I originally made it, I told the guys, oh, but tonight they can't put up on YouTube. So of course it got to put up on YouTube. So so I am now a YouTube star. They asked me to show us afterwards. They said, it's the only way they can spread it around. I said, okay, fine, whatever. But the chatzchila, I believe that wasn't going to be necessary. Okay, I made my mecha. Post mecha. So if you look at the picture, it's not very large. The shear of the matzah is actually a little bit smaller than this, even based on that. A person needs to use, there are actually smaller shirim. A person's going to use machine matzah. Machine matzah is actually a little more puffy than hand matzah. So it's basically, it would be 28.5 grams, which is 1 ounce. So the weight of the matzah, for mochi matzah, everything altogether is basically about 1 ounce of weight. 1 ounce, not a volume, 1 ounce of weight. And that's the shear for mochi matzah. Okay. The next step is the mitzvah of morer. So you take the mortar, whatever you're going to use. If you're going to use the chrein, so you basically take the size of a shot glass and fill it with ground chrein, and that's the shear. If you use romaine lettuce, so Rabbi Badner has a very nice picture of it. I don't know if you really can get a full picture of this. So this is a 8.5 by 14 piece of paper. So basically, this piece is, you get the idea, it's going to be approximately about 13 inches long. That's the shear. One of those. If a person is going to use stalks, so the picture at the bottom over there is the stalks. Two of these. So it's not very big. It's the shear d'rabbanan, you can be samech on that. If a person can use lettuce is preferred. Romaine lettuce is preferred. The only issue which people have with romaine lettuce is that you have concern with bugs. So the best way to deal with the bug issue. So one of the fascinating things about soap is soap has a property. What does soap help? Let's discuss physics right now for a moment. What does soap do for you? Why do you need soap to wash your dishes? So soap has the property of the molecules of soap is that they actually break the bonds which the fat or other things have with the dish, etc. That's what they do. That's their property. So they also break the bond which the bug has to the lettuce. So it makes the lettuce, as it were, more slippery. So if you make a solution of water and soap, and you you put your lettuce into it, and you agitate the lettuce in the water. Agitate means you shake it around. Well, in case no snickering over there, please. Okay, you move it around strongly in the water, and then you can rub your then you take it under running water. And rub your fingers on it. Well, on the whole lettuce, get the soap off, but also get any bugs which are there, get them off, and then look at it through the light. Look at it with the light behind it, so you should be able. You should be able to check to see if there's any bugs. They usually will remove any bugs, and that's a fine system to use to check the lettuce. If you're using the stalks, you can just run it on just the stalks part, not the leaves part. You just run it under running water and move your finger up and down on the stalk. I'll get everything off. You don't have to worry about checking it even. Okay. Okay. I like the pajamas. Okay. Okay. Fine. So you travel the mortar into the charoses. If you're a Svarti, that means you travel the whole mortar into the charoses, which if you're using ground crane, it's very difficult to figure out how to do that. If you're using a lattice, that's possible. But in Ashkenazi, you just dip mixes into the chorizos, then you shake off the chorizos before you eat the mortar. You shake off the chorizos. Okay, you make a bracha of alachilas mortar. You have in mind for the mortar, which is included in the karech as well. You also have in mind to be here to the mitzvah of achilas mortar. There's no din of haseva when you eat the karech. Take that back. There's no din of haseva when you eat the mortar. But you do have to make sure that you eat it in the time of Kedei Achilas Pras, which, since it's a Derabonon, so relying on the shear of four and a half minutes really is reliable. If a person needs longer, a person should take longer. If the person's eating grain. Question which comes up is, are you allowed to drink water while you're eating the mortar? A person's using grain for the mortar, so sometimes he finds that difficult. Yes, you could take a drink of water in the middle. You can also take a drink of water in the middle while you're eating the matzah, if necessary. Okay, karech, we take the kazayas, you take kazayas from the bottom matzah, the shear for the karech, one could if he needs to, yes. Okay, the karech is the left column. Because karech is a drabonon, so you can rely on the smaller shear. So for the thick matzah, you're basically doing a fifth of a matzah is the shear. Everybody see that bottom one over there? Right? And even the thin matzah, which means it's 9 matzahs per pound, you're talking about it's less than a third of a matzah. It's not very big. You make a sandwich out of it. You need to eat it by haseva. So the karech has to be eaten by haseva. It approximates the mitzvah of matzah that Hillel did this much with Hayakayim. Now the Bir Halacha has a question about that paragraph before eating the karech. The Bir Halacha is masubik, if you're allowed to say it, because remember we said you're not supposed to eat. Say that again. You're not supposed to talk from the time you make the bracha of al achilas matzah until after you eat the karech. So maybe even the phrase of zecher lemitzvah kehillel should be considered a halachic hefsek. So he comes out, it'd be better, may not to say it. The minhag olam is to say it. That's considered tzarich mitzvah to your mazur while we're doing it. But you see how seriously the Bir Halacha is taking this halacha. I'm not speaking from the time you make the beginning of the brachas until you have to finish eating the karech, the person should not be speaking. Okay, now after karech is shulchan arech. So a few things. The person, it's a sudas yamtiv. Sudas yamtiv. There is an inyan of having a kais of yayin during a sudas yamtiv. Again, the shears are revius, so revius is 3 ounces, not gigantic. There, we do not eat tzli for the suda. So if the menu is roasted meat or even roasted chicken, we're machmeran, not a good idea. Something called tzli kader. Tzli kader is a pot roast, which means you're cooking inside the oven, not over an open fire. But you're not adding any liquid to the meat. You're putting it in the pot together with, let's say, some vegetables, etc. You're letting it cook in its own juices. That's also considered tzli for this purpose, and we don't do that. If a significant amount of liquid is there, that's not called, even though they're cooking it in a pot, in the oven, as opposed to boiling on the stove, that's called cooked. Okay. Now, yes. That's if the final product that you're eating does not look like roast, it looks more like it's something which is cooked with liquid, it's not a problem. Okay, it is a sudas yamtiv. A person is supposed to eat a besimcha. You do need to have in mind to remember that the chilas of a karmen should not be a chila gasa. So between eating your kazayas of matzah and your kazayas of morer and your kazayas of karech, and you being a kazayas of a karmen, you know, eating a lot of food is not necessarily the smartest idea. It's going to be a chila gasa by the time you get to the afikoyman. I do point out another end of the spectrum that mikra din achilas of karmen is rabbanon, and kibbut avayim is the raisa. If your mother's going to be very upset that you're not eating anything, because Rabbi Reinhold said not, especially don't blame me. That's number one. Whatever you say, you heard, don't say Rabbi Reinhold said I shouldn't eat during the meal. You know, that's I did not say that. Let's get that clear. Famous Maaseh Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, somebody, came to him that he wanted to apologize that he had said over something from the Chassam Sofer and without attributing it to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, I have zero hakpada that you should say over my Torah in your name. What I am makbid on is don't say over your Torah in my name. That I'm makbid on. So don't say that I said when I didn't say that. Do me a favor, you know. I've reached a madrega that I'm very chashiv, that people misquote me all the time. So that means you're chashiv. The final madrega is they make machos against you. I haven't reached that madrega yet, Baruch Hashem. I almost got one last 2 weeks ago. Close to getting there, Baruch Hashem. But the madrega of people misquoting me, that I've somebody asked me about halacha last week, they heard of my name, and I said, I never said that. I said, a few people told me they heard your name, not at all. I have no idea. Okay. There is a minute to eat bayim. Preferably the bayim from the ka'ora should be eaten. It should not be thrown out. It's a bizoin to the, it's used for a mitzvah, so you should not just throw it out. You can eat it during the Seder, even though it's roasted. Roasted only applies to meat or to chicken. It doesn't apply to eggs. So the egg can be eaten by the Seder. And if you do that, you can roast another egg the next night. You cannot roast an egg by day for the following night, because it's one day yomtov to the next. But you can roast, you're preparing for the Seder the following night. For those of us in Chutz Lords, Mashiach hasn't come, which have two storim, and we have a Seder the second night, you would have to wait till the second night to roast another egg. The is brought down in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that there's a mile of eating the Suda Baseva. A lot of persons say that nowadays it doesn't apply because we don't normally eat Baseva. They used to eat Baseva. That was a real option. So you should eat the Suda Baseva. For us, Baseva is not necessarily something which we are necessarily doing on a regular basis. We don't find it necessarily... Hello? Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have to have an egg on the Seder, on the Korah. That's part of the Korah. It represents, it represents the Chagiga. So, but it should be zoy not to eat it. So you can wait till the second night and eat it the second night. If you want to use it the first night, you can use it the first night and make another one the next night. You don't have to prepare two. You can use one for both. As long as you don't say, well, this thing has been sitting out for the last 2 nights, for 4 hours each night, I'm not going to eat this. Well, don't say that. You know, if that's what you're going to say, then yeah, make two, and eat one each night. Okay. So we move on to the. So keep it up aim. Keep it up aim. There is a. Your mother made a nice meat suda. She wants you to eat it. So you should try and find some way to eat some of it. So, okay, tzofim. Now the halacha is that the afikoman has to be eaten before chatzos. The standard way to calculate chatzos is to take the chatzos of the day and use that for the night, because basically it's the same. So chatzos is one fifteen by day. So then chatzos is 1:15 by night. That's the standard assumption of how to figure it out. That's not necessarily correct, but that's the standard way of doing it. It's kind of... So I'll tell you what this man is for chatzos. So So for the 110. So in Silver Spring, Chatzos is going to be 110. That's the Chatzos of the Yom. That is not necessarily the Chatzos of the Laila, but that's the way, so the standard way of what most people calculate it. Preferably, if you can get along. Okay. Somebody's got a question over here. Do you want me to answer that publicly, or do you want me to answer that in typing? Because you sent me privately. Okay. It should be as soon as Yom Tov. It doesn't have to be a major anything fancy, you know. But you know, it should be, you know, it's not. It has to be large amounts, you know. But it should be more than, you know, just, you know, what one, you know. Listen, you know, it's late. You know, we'll have a soup which has meat in it and it has some vegetables. And maybe we'll yotze having meat and vegetables and soup, you know, and all one course. That I would advise against. Yeah, but you know, it doesn't have to be make yourself mashuga. No, you know. You know, I have rachmanis on the wife or the husband, whoever's making it. So it should be before chatzos. So let's assume that the chatzos on the calendar is correct. It means you want to finish after coming by chatzos. So you have to have in mind, you know, that during magid and during the suda, you have to have time. Your mother made dessert. I guess I came up to one guy and said, you know, by the time we finish the dessert, it's always too late for chatzos. So should we eat the dessert? You know, if your mother's not willing to forgo her dessert, it gets very sticky, because kibbutz avim is the raisa, and the din of afikomen mikra din is the rabbanon. Okay, so you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Your shalom bayis problems are not mine. Okay. The chatzkilah should be tus kazesim, but it's a drabbanon, so you can use a smaller shear for that. So, again, if you can view my chart over here, so the thicker matzahs, which again the thicker matzahs means they come six per, it's the middle column, so six per pound. So it's basically a quarter. It's a quarter of a matzah, 26%, and the thin matzahs, which are coming 9 per pound, it's 4/10 of a matzah. Okay, that's the. If you do it by weight, give me a second. So 21 grams would be your for hand matzah. 21 grams is the shear, and machine matzah it's 21.5 grams. So you can get your that's the full shear. That's the full shear. That's the full amount. If you can't do that, you should eat one kazayas, but you can use the kazayas is a little bit more than half of that. So if you want to use the if a person finds it difficult, the person can use a shear. If you use 15.8 grams would be the shear for the hand matzah, and 16 grams for the machine matzah. And that would definitely be enough. Okay. It has to be eaten by Seba, and it has to be eaten Kedei Achilas Pras. The same way the first, although everything else we eat in that night has to be a Seba. The only exception to a Seba is the Morer. Karech is Mutzi Matzah is Baseba. Karech is Baseba. And Sofun and the Avikarmen is also Baseba. Person did not eat Baseba, he has to go do it again. So try not to do that. If a person did not eat Paseva and they benched and they realize they did not eat Paseva, but you burn Pasen, you have to wash again and eat it and bench. So it's pretty serious, according to Mishnah Berurah. You can't eat after the Afikomen. You can drink water. The Isser of Shtia, you can't drink after the Dalakosis. So what are you allowed to do? We'll get to that and we'll talk about it. But water is definitely allowed. Again, so water during the Afikomen, a person finds it difficult to get the Afikomen down without water, he can make him to drink water if he needs to. So that's Sofen. Borech. What? If it's after it doesn't have any davar karmin yet, they should eat it, yes. Right. Yeah, you gotta do it again, yeah. Okay. Okay, so we mentioned already that when you come to Borech, so, yeah. If you, well, here's the key, according to some sheetahs, no. That's why we try to make sure you eat it before Chatzos. But according to some sheetahs, yes. Because according to some sheetahs, it's still. It's two separate questions. I need to eat Avakim before Chatzos. Let's say I didn't eat before Chatzos. I should eat it afterwards because according to some sheetahs, I'm still Yotze. Now, I ate it not by Seva. So, I wasn't Yotze according to anybody yet. Right? So now it's after Chatzos. So, well, according to the sheetah anyway, I wasn't Yotze anyway, so why should I eat again? No, because according to the sheetah B, you will be Yotze, so you might as well, you should eat it. Right? Okay. For Borech, we mentioned that if you have the curses on the table, you should do Hadocha, Shtipan Hadocha, which means you wash it inside and out, refill the curse. Should have in mind for the mitzvah of Birchus Hamazon. You should not be masik b'dibur between the benching and the drinking of the third curse. You should have in mind by the third curse that you are being out of the third of the curses. You should drink a baseva. It should, preferably the whole kos, or at least rav kos, for sure, kitei mole luma, which is the minimum shear. Preferably, it should be drank in the process of a short period of time. The person who's leading the benching will hold the kos the whole time. Other people do not need to hold the kos the whole time of benching. Okay, Hallel. If you have three people, so by Hoidu and Honor, you say it responsibly. That three people over here, it could be man and women. So if you're a man and a husband and a wife and a daughter, that counts for three. Women have a Chiyuv Hallel just like the men. So the women, you know, they have the Chiyuv, the women have a Chiyuv of Matzah, women have a Chiyuv of Marer, the woman of Chiyuv Dalakosis, woman of Chiyuv of Hallel. A person should have in mind by Hallel to be Yotze the Mitzvah Mirabonon, like most Shitas, Mirabonon, Mitzvah of Hallel. Hallel should be said by Simcha. We drink the fourth Kais. There are different Nuschos of the Bracha. How exactly you say the Bracha? The Mishaburas, Shita is that you do not say, that you say at the end of the, so there's two parts to the Hallel after benching. You have the regular Hallel, you have the Bracha B'Hallelucha, you have Hallel Gadol, and you have all of Nishmas. Mishabura holds that what you do is you say the paragraph of Y'Hallelucha, which you say at the end of all Hallel, you say it at the end of, after the regular Hallel, before you get to Hallel Gadol, but you do not say the chasima, right? So you say Yahalucha Hashem Lokeinu Kol Maaseinu V'Asecha all the way till L'Shem Kono El Zamer, and then you stop. Normally, during any other time, you're saying Hallel, and you say Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulam Atish B'Chois. You do not say that over there. You say L'Shem Kono El Zamer, then you stop, and then you say Hallel Mitzvah, what's referred to as Hallel Gadol, the long capital Kuf Lamed Vav, which has the Hurl Hashem Kitoi, says Kilalam Chastoi 26 times. Then you say Nishmas, and you Nishmas, and then Shechinad, you know, Hakel, right? Shechinad. And then you say the paragraph of Yishtabach. According to Mr. Brura, you say the paragraph of Yishtabach, but the chasima is Melech Mulam Atish B'chois. So you take that bracha, which you would have normally said at the end of the regular hallel, and you say all of Nishmas, everything, but the paragraph of Yishtabach, you say, and then it's saying, instead of saying that, you say, right? That's what Shemra holds. Right? Now, the Gra holds that you finish off with the regular chasima of Yishtabach, etc. Some people move the whole paragraph of Yehalalucha all the way to then and say Melech Melo B'Tishim Chois. Then the fourth option is that you take the paragraph of Yehalalucha to the end, but you finish over the chasima of Yishtabach. Okay, whatever you do, somebody says that you're right. Somebody says that you're wrong. So, you know, so if you're an optimist, you say, wow, I got it right. If you're a pessimist, you say, oh my God, wrong. But when you follow whatever your minhag, but the standard minhag Ashkenaz is either to follow the minhag of the Gra and do the chasima of the regular chasima of Yishtabach, or the Meshabrura to do the chasima of Melech Bolov at Hishmachos. Okay, then you, yes. Preferably you should say Hallel together. It's an element of, there's a mile of saying Hallel together. You should not speak between the Hallel and the fourth Kais. Have a mind to be yotze to the midst of the last of the Dalet Kaises. You have to drink a Paseva. Now, by the fourth Kais, you want to be able to say a Baruch Achorana. So now you have to be careful how much you drink. So till now we're saying that, you know, the Chatzkila, you should drink the whole Kais. And B'di'evid, you can yotze with you know, Rav Kais, or at least the Mali Lugmov. Over here, you need to drink at least a Revius. Now, for the purpose of a Baruch Achorin, a Revius, the Paisim assume you can do the Sabbath on the shear of 3.3 or even 2.9. You drink 3 ounces, a little bit over 3 ounces of Yayin, you can say a Baruch Avala Geffen. But already, once you drink a Mali Lugmov, it's a Machloikis. Could be you have a Chiev, but Misavak you can't say. So try, but you have to drink at least a Mali Lugmov. So it's better to drink a Revius, that's what you can buy to say a Baruch Achorin. Now, when you say the Baruch Achorin of Ala Geffen, what are you going back on? So you're going back on the fourth Kais, go back on the third Kais. Be'er Halacha, one place grapples with the Chari, you're going back on the first and second Kais also. Because yain that you drink before the meal is not automatically included in benching. The problem, of course, is that is what something called Shir Ichel. Shir Ichel is that a person eats or drinks something, and then there's a time lapse, the time it takes it to be digested, you can no longer make the Baruch HaKorana. So for a full meal, a person saying a Baruch HaKorana on a meal, and he's full, mamash full. So it's, as long as you still feel full, you're not hungry yet. So it can be three or 4 hours. But a person did not eat a full meal, he just had a small snack. So the Shir Ichel for foods is 72 minutes. We assume by 72 minutes it's left your stomach and moved on. You can't really tell based on being hungry, because even after you finished you're eating a small amount, you might have been still hungry. But the assumption is that after 72 minutes you cannot make the Baruch HaKorana anymore. Coming to drinks, it's even more not clear how long you have. A person has a drink. Drink leaves the stomach more quickly than food does. Someone does not really have to process it. So the person grapples with how long you have for what's called Shir Ichel on a drink. So clearly there's been Shir Ichel, unless you have the marathon or Zoom Seder, you know. Okay? That's what somebody heard I said a Zoom Seder. They thought I meant based using Zoom. I meant a quick Seder. Anyway, okay. No, that's not what happened. Anyway, so it's too long. So at least a person should try have in mind by benching to include the first and second course in the benching. Rabbi Yashav Zatzal would actually make a Baruch HaKorana after the first course. This way he would have Ala Geffen. But Minigarlam is not like that. Okay. Preferably when you bench, you should either have in mind for the first and second, or Yeah, that's the best thing to do. Is when you bench, try and have in mind, remember that you're covering the first and second kos as well, even though they were before the meal. Okay, now, the last part of the Seder is known as Nirtza, which some say that the Simonim of the Seder are 15 Simonim, and really there are only 14, which is the Kaminyan Yad, like Yad Chazakah, and the 15th is really just a tefillah. The Rosh Hashanah should be Nirtza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say that the person should do actions which are make the person Mitzratza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by continuing to learn and talk about the Yisrael Mitzrayim for the Laila. So Mikra then it says, but then a person should really spend the whole night talking about Yisrael Mitzrayim, Ashet Chatven Oshina, until you keep talking about it until you fall asleep. Once you do that, you're potter. So a person falls asleep, pretty quickly, so he's not mechayev. A person's awake, he should keep going at it. However, Rabbi Yaakov Emden brings, if a person feels that it's going to shtir his tefillah the next day, he knows if he keeps going till 3, 4, 5 in the morning, he's going to be very, very exhausted during davening the next day. It's going to affect his tefillah, so he should not push it. After the fourth curse, you may drink water. You definitely cannot drink alcoholic beverages, anything which is alcoholic. And you are allowed to drink liquids which do not have a strong taste. So coffee has a strong taste that the person should avoid. Tea, without sugar, doesn't really have a strong flavor to it, so that's permitted. I'm sorry, repeat the question again. What? Once after Afikoman, you have this limitation applies already, but the two cases are not included in the limitation. So theoretically, after Afikoman, person, I'm so exhausted, I'll have a cup of coffee to sustain me till the end of Halal. It's not going to work. Once you've had Afikoman, you have the same way. You cannot eat after Afikoman. You can't drink after Afikoman either. But that the prohibition of drinking doesn't apply to water, doesn't apply to liquids which don't have a strong flavor to them. So the assumption of the price is something which it's not, let's say, something which does not have a strong flavor. So let's say seltzer, tea without sugar, without some type of sweetener. It's not a very strong flavor. A person's having orange juice, there's a stronger flavor to it. Person's having now alcoholic beverages for sure is also. Some say that if a person really needs so, he can make along those things which are more than water, but they're not alcoholic. So, but preferably a person should try and avoid that. Unless a person has some need because they have they're diabetic and they need sugar, so yeah, drink some oranges. I'm not, obviously, I'm not talking about that. Point out that the point over here is to keep the flavor of the afikoman in your mouth. So it's not only eating or drinking which is an issue, it would also be other actions which would remove the flavor. So they talk about smoking, and I'm not going to get anybody here. Here means right here, so I for sure it's on the gate, so the person referred to smoking as shtias titum, because it's an act of inhaling the smoke, bringing the smoke in. And I've never seen the person discuss what's with mouthwash, but I assume it'd be the same thing as well. So probably the night of the Seder, person should not use mouthwash when he goes to bed. Obviously the next day he could, gets up in the morning, he could. It's just till the end of the night. No. I'm just saying those which are makel on it, which they shouldn't, because it's luckily I think smoking is asur in Yom Tov. Besides the issue of the whole year, which I think is a problem anyway, because of Nishmat HaMer than Afshar Seichem. But on Yom Tov, I think nowadays it's much more problematic than the person which are makel on it. Was in a generation where it was much more widespread. And there's an issue, even though you're allowed to cook things and make burn things on Yom Tov. You can make a fire and you can cook things on Yom Tov. It's only something which most people, Rav people, consider a valid tzarech. Something which only immediate people get a benefit out of is osur mida raisa on Yom Tov. So nowadays, I think that smoking has that problem. It's that once upon a time it was before the issue of the Surgeon General coming out, the research done in the 60s and in the 70s. So many people smoke. Maybe even people didn't. It's just a question of when they were getting around. A few people didn't like the flavor, whatever. Then you could argue. It was more. Mitzayant would not be osur, but nowadays it has diminished. I believe enough that nowadays, right people do not. And once that's true, it's an issue of the raisa to smoke on Yom Tov. There's a fascinating Pnei Yeshua about it, which I mentioned other occasions. I don't remember if any of you were there and remember it. Pnei Yeshua comes along and says a chiddush. He says that halacha that the miut does it, it's osur. It's only that they're doing something which is not an accepted tzarech. But if, let's say, only the miut people do it, but the tzarech they're doing it for is an accepted tzarech. Let's say, for example, the people are doing something. Refuah is a big machlokes in halacha whether refuah is considered mutar and yomtiv, which would involve a malacha, and it's not a sakana situation. Again, it's for me and the people, not a majority of people. It's for me and the people. So let's say a person wants to carry medication. There's no Erev. So Yom Tov, there's no Erev, and he wants to carry medication. He's allowed to carry medication. So it goes into the same problem. Only me and the people are Chaylim. So carry medication is only in the Gantu me and the people. So some person say it's an issue of the rice that carry my Rebbe holds. It's an issue of the rice that carry medication on Yom Tov outside of an Erev. Becomes all the Pnei Yeshua says, but that's because it's refuah. But let's say something which is briut, right? It's keeping healthy. Everybody needs to keep healthy. He says, and everybody knows that smoking is good for your health. So even though not everybody smokes, but everybody agrees that it's healthy, that being healthy is a valid need. And smoking is good for your health. So that's what Pnei Yeshua writes. So, the Debrezino has a tshuva where he says, really? Come on, So, the Pnei Yeshua says like this, and this is true. This is a established medical fact that having one cigarette at the end of a meal helps digestion. Having two is not good for your digestion, but having one is. And Pnei Yeshua says smoking helps your digestion, but this is a known established medical fact today that having one cigarette at the end of your meal will actually help your digestion. It'll kill you for other reasons, but it's good for it helps your digestion. So the Messina says, imagine we lived in a world before the Industrial Revolution. So how much air pollution was there anyway? There was no gigantic smokestacks of factories belching out who knows what into the atmosphere, right? The biggest, problem in the air was, you burnt wood. You had much more trees. You had much more exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. Overall, the air which people were breathing was much healthier. So in that climate, the advantage of that it helped for digestion overweighed any damage. It wouldn't damage the lungs. The lungs naturally are able to expel a certain amount of pollutants which come in. The problem is they get overwhelmed and they can't expel. So you live in a world with very little pollutants coming in, period. So a small amount would be able to be expelled. So the Pnei Yeshua is saying that the advantage of the ichol overrode the disadvantage of any potential damage because the body really couldn't handle it. He said, but nowadays that's not true. There's so many other junk in the atmosphere, so that the lungs are limited in their capacity of removing the pollutants. It is dangerous. So Pnei Yeshua is not relevant anymore. So bottom line is, if you want to know what I hold in the rice. So. Okay, everybody. So, very good. I got the book. Thank you for joining. Any more questions? Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. Obviously, when they were drinking, unless you're using a straw, right? You know, what did they do? They did the same thing. They weren't drinking from straws. You know, so even they were reclining. Obviously, they weren't pouring it all over their face. You know, they leaned forward a little bit when they drank. You know, so they might lean back and eat their matzah totally reclined, but the drinking, they obviously wasn't like that. Okay. You do as what we consider normal. Okay. Yeah, see one more question. I think the average person, you know, the final result of the rest of the yontem can be so exhausted that, you know, most people, some people are very strong. They can handle it. You know, they stay up the whole night of Shavuos, you know, and by the afternoon, they're back to normal. The average guy is walking around the rest of the yontem looking like, you know, he was hit by a freight train. So I don't think that's called simple as yontem. Yeah. Okay. Like I meant.
Hi.
Okay. Good luck. Call to.
Hi.
Just 1 second. Good, Baruch Hashem. Okay, very good. Saga Bench, be in touch. Shaya? Baruch Hashem, where are you for Yom Tov? Okay, everything should... Okay, you're feeling okay? You're doing okay?